Hey guys, it's Alfredo.
And this is Brian.
And this is Film Purgatory. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week, this romantic week. Wow, I can't stress this enough, Brian. I can't believe you, of all people, suggested a romance week.
Believe it, bro. That's how I do it. Believe it or not, I'm a hopeless romantic.
Nah, all right.
Nobody believes that. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Nobody believes that. All right. I felt this was still necessary, just how, you know, we did the disaster week. Okay, it's okay. We don't always got to do things we like to do. It's a learning curve. And I've learned that even though I'm not a fan of romance, it is still pivotal to the cinema community. Because even movies that aren't focused on romance still tend to have elements of romance embedded within the movie, embedded within the story. It is something we love to see as an audience. It makes us feel good. It satisfies the fantasy that a lot of people have. I'll say most people. I'm not trying to call you guys out, but sorry, you're a bunch of losers.
What, of love?
Get a life. No. Yeah. Just love, relationship, happy ending. You know what I'm trying to say? Right. Happily ever after. I should say, Deshaun Watson, don't come after me. But yeah, so I thought, I have seen good romantic movies. I'm not gonna lie.
Right.
Why not talk about the ones I think are worth talking about and are worth watching?
It's fair. I think that love is an enigma. It's the truest form of enigma. We're never going to understand it. We can only try to interpret it as much as we can. And I feel when we see these movies, it manifests that. It manifests our feelings towards love and the basic human emotion, a necessity of human nature that all of us seek and most of us never acquire. But it's nice. It's nice to see that portrayed, manifested in a visual sense that we can enjoy. You can say that we mirror. We put ourselves in that situation.
I would 100% agree.
But that being said, guys, we're talking about two romantic films, The Notebook, the Cadillac of romance films, and Blue is the Warmest Color.
Blue is the Warmest Color, yes. Starting off with The Notebook.
The Notebook was made in 2004. It's a romance drama. It was directed by Nick Cassavetes. Okay. Nick directed The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann.
Oh, that was the one with Kate Upton.
Kate Upton.
Yeah, that was nice.
My Sister's Keeper, again with Cameron Diaz.
A little too sad.
And Alpha Dog with Justin Timberlake.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
It was old. It was an old movie. Wasn't that good.
Oh, well. Sorry, Justin.
Solid cast in this one. We have Ryan Babyface Gosling from La La Land. Rachel McAdams. She's the love interest in Doctor Strange. Also Mean Girls.
Mean Girls, I think, is her main. Like, Mean Girls.
Yeah, I'm trying to go like more recent, you know?
More recent, yeah. Yeah, she. The thing is, in Mean Girls, she just looks so young.
Right.
And she really came off as that high school mean girl.
I feel like she had really good movies, but like, she hit her peak.
Yeah. That's why she rode that wave of romantic movies for a while. Remember that?
Yeah, that was weird.
I guess I understand.
James Marsden in Sonic.
I know that guy.
He's the Cyclops from X-Men.
Yeah.
It's that dude. And Joan Allen. That's Ellie's mom in this one. She was in the Bourne franchise. She was the blonde lady that was like helping Jason Bourne.
Oh.
That's her. She was the mom. Yeah.
Damn, I never made the
correlation.
Yeah, I guess I just haven't seen The Notebook in so long.
Be better, bro. Be better. But the story behind this one, a cheerful / optimistic old man starts his day by reading to an older woman the story of Noah and Allie, a love story with unconventional origins. You know, because she was from the city and he's from the country.
Yeah.
The basic Romeo and Juliet forbidden love type of shit.
Correct.
The story follows both Noah and Allie falling in love, saying goodbye, and eventually finding each other again, proving their love genuine and timeless. This point is further emphasized when we learn that Noah is the old man, and he's reading to his wife, Allie, which is the old woman, about their love story. So Allie seems to suffer from Alzheimer's, and she doesn't remember anything. She doesn't remember her family. She doesn't remember him. Nothing.
Right, right.
So Noah reads to her every day to try to help her remember, despite what doctors may advise.
Right. That was like that was the reveal at right. the very end. It was right. to me that was like super sad. Mm. You know, it was speaking of, like you said, how we mirror things we see, and I think the main element that I take away that I hear people say all the time, and I don't know if it's because it makes them feel better, maybe it makes the sense in their head, but I hear people say a lot, if it's meant to be, it'll be for, like, if it's meant for you, it'll all work out, and it's right. like fate, you know, like kind of putting things into fate's hands kind of thing, and right. which I think is bullshit, but mm-hmm. that's me,
right.
you know, I understand romantic people may see it differently, but this movie definitely feeds into that mentality, mm-hmm. you know, like they didn't work out for whatever reasons, and it was drama done well, because yeah. it was so sad, and it was also very tense, the way they would fight, and it was just a lot of confusion on both parts, like what they wanted, what they didn't want, and you know, and you really felt that. I think a lot of people could relate to that, see having those type of fights with their significant others, maybe exes in the past. So
right.
I think that this movie definitely resonated with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams had an elite chemistry in this
film.
I must say,
big time.
So yeah, that's my takeaway of the entire film. That theme of if it's meant to be, it'll be, like, just really push that narrative hard for the audience.
An adaptation of a book by Nicholas Sparks. It's called The Notebook. It's actually the first novel Nicholas Sparks published. So the relationship between Noah and Allie is actually based on a real couple. It's his ex-wife's grandparents.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just the majority of the times, you know, two people, they fall in love, they grow apart, they fall out of love. One moves, and that's it. You know, they move on with their lives. You know, you don't really get reunited when you're older, and the devotion shown by Noah,
right,
is not really seen. So it's a little bit more in the fantasy side. I don't right. mean to sound pessimistic in this sense. It's just real. You know, this is the fact, and I think that's what a lot of people hold on to, the fantasy of it. You know, I wish I would find someone that's devoted to me as much as that. But at the same time, it's okay to move on. It's okay to let go. And Allie did. She let go, and she was going to get married. She found a good guy. Which
to the character played by James Marsden?
Marsden, yes, correct. Which, man, that guy did nothing wrong. He was supportive throughout the whole thing.
Right.
It just so happens that, you know,
he was second place.
He was second place, yeah.
Which is another fear, now that we bring this up. Like, that's kind of the fear I think people have, like an insecurity. Like, what if I'm not good enough
right.
compared to this person's exes or, you know, other people that they've supposedly had.
Right.
It's like, especially, I don't know about you, but I feel like, especially with that city life that we have, Miami, like, people just, nobody believes or trusts anybody.
It's
you
tough.
Know? And this movie doesn't help.
It does not help.
You know, it's like, yo, imagine you fall in love. You think that the person you're with is perfect.
Mm.
And then on your wedding day, they're like, deuces, bro. Yeah. You were just the backup. That's cause for suicidal tendency, like right. ideation. I'm sorry, but right. that's some tough stuff, bro.
And that's what I mean about love being an enigma. We can't really understand it. You know, they say the heart loves what it loves. And it's tough. We can't explain it. There is no explaining it. You just feel it. Just do your best. You know, you do your best. This is a nice story of improbable love that flourished, that made it, and that persevered. You know, there is actually a sequel to The Notebook as far as the novel.
Oh, the novel, okay.
Nicholas Sparks wrote a book called The Wedding, published in 2003, and it follows Jane, Allie and Noah's daughter, and how she falls in love with a man named Wilson. Can you imagine the love story, like, if it's something anywhere near their parents? Like, this family is just engulfed in love. Like, what the hell is this?
I feel like it's not worth it. You know what yes. I'm saying? Like, just stick to something simpler. Just be happy. You don't have to involve yourself into so much drama and sadness and tension and, like, you know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Like, this cannot be good for your mental health. Chasing what your heart wants, but your mind doesn't want it for clear reasons. It's, I don't know. Just not a fan. I think it pushes the wrong advice.
Don't know the specifics because, you know, it's a book and it's film purgatory. But
novel film purgatory.
Once that movie comes out, we'll let you know.
Once? Confirmed?
With Hollywood nowadays, like, anybody is making a movie of anything.
It's funny because at first, like, I took it more of a joke, and then now I'm like, they just came out about 3 years ago with, what is it? Dr. Love. What was that movie called? The sequel, 30 years later.
Of The Shining?
The Shining, yeah.
Dr. Sleep?
Dr. Sleep, that one. Yeah. Like, yeah, so yeah, pretty much, yeah. We can probably think of a sequel. A sequel would not be improbable at this point. No matter how long it's been.
So Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 53%. IMDb gave it a 7.8 out of 10. This is one of those instances where Rotten Tomatoes just takes things too literal. And, man, it's tough because the audience score for Rotten Tomatoes is an 83%. That's a big difference. I just don't know. I think they when it comes to their movies based off of novels, they use the source material and they take it really heavy.
Right.
When it shouldn't. It's its own film. It's its own story. And they portray the film. That's great. It's based on it. But I'm not going to give you a play-by-play on the story. And yeah, I think that's what's happening.
Right. Like, you get inspiration. That's right. What based off. Doesn't mean that you're doing a literal word-for-word, you know, detail-by-detail translation into a film. It's going to have its differences. And it's not going to be the same. Hollywood needs to make money, and they're going to change things up in their minds to what they feel will be more successful, more attractive, right, more appealing to the audience. Mm.
Film Purgatory score?
8 out of 10.
Damn.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I can't hate.
8.17.
Fair. Sounds like Daniel Jones' QBR this week.
It's a great movie. This is one of those films that you have to watch if you're in the romantic mood. You know, when you think of romance films, this should be one of the first movies that comes up.
You could put this on a first date.
Oh?
Nah, I'm just kidding. Don't put The Notebook on the first date. It's simping. Too old. It's too known.
It's simping.
Yeah. Mm. However, you could put on this next film, because this next film stimulates the mind a little more. It's a little longer.
All right.
Yeah, Blue is the Warmest Color is the 2013 romantic drama. It's a foreign film from France. It came out in 2013, directed by... Oh, this is tough, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this is tough.
If you think it's tough...
Bro, this is going to be tough. All right. Abdelatif Keshichi. Keshaishi. Abdelatif. All right. I don't know, bro. I'm sorry. Director, please. I really enjoyed this film.
Abdelatif Keshish.
Abdelatif Keshish. Directed by that name. All right, this one is gonna be even tougher.
I can't. That was the best I could do.
I know. I appreciate the effort, but this one's tougher. Okay. Adele, played by the actress named also Adele, last name Exarchopoulos.
So it's not Adele the singer.
No, this is a different actress, and her girlfriend in the movie, or would be girlfriend in the movie. Her name is Leia Seydoux, or Seydoux. That was a little easier.
Nice.
Her name is Emma in the film. So this film follows Adele, teenager, still a minor in this film, but she essentially from the very beginning is sparking a bit of curiosity in terms of her sexuality.
Nice.
And so she encounters this blue-haired girl, you know, across the way. And it piques her interest. It clearly piques an interest. And given that you already know this is a romantic film, you can see, you know, this movie is no mystery whatsoever. You know where it's going, and you can expect everything. It's just sad to see everything. You know, she gets the curiosity. She goes to the club with her. She's having a good time. But it's tough because she's a minor, and this girl is years older, a few years older.
Oh, wow.
But is an adult. And, you know, so time goes by, of course. They eventually date when this girl is older. They date for a long time. You know, it's... I don't want to give away too many details, because this movie is one of those that you have to really watch it to experience, you know, every emotion. Does that make sense? Because even the main protagonist is not perfect. She is not a hero or villain. She is a human being. And that's what I liked about this film. She goes through her temptations. She, you know, she has her wrongs, as so does her girlfriend or would-be fiancé. They have a roller coaster of a relationship, I guess we'll be putting it pretty accurately. I mean, I'm not sure how else to describe.
I think this one would be more of a realistic point of view as far as love or romance, because you know, it's not perfect. The timing is always something. The chemistry is always something. The people are always something. It's tough, but this film really does a good job in portraying that. in the adversities, not between the relationship, but between each person by themselves. You know, we each have our problems, and essentially you're bringing two different people, completely different people, two different mindsets, and you're trying to create something when you go into a relationship, and try to make it as beautiful as you can. But it doesn't always end up that way. So I think this movie does a really good job at that.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, honestly. I would go even more specific and say it's very realistic portrayal of young love.
Mm.
Very accurate of young love. Maybe people who start dating in their 40s after a divorce wouldn't relate to it as much. Not the same mentalities. But right. As you said, it's about growing people. People from different walks of life. You know, coming together, and for whatever reason, they spark a strong flame, you know, whatever you want to call it. What I like about this film is that it does not go too polar in the sense that she's straight but then she's lesbian, or, you know, they don't go too deep into titles, or it's not about that. You know, it was literally just about the troubles of a relationship. And this girl later on, again, not that it's ever announced, but makes a mistake by taking a small coworker date with a guy, and it's like, it's one of those things that you assume it's innocent because you make the assumption, not that it's told to you explicitly, but that she's, you know, just a lesbian. She's just been with this girl for a certain amount of years now, and then all of a sudden they're dancing to Romeo.
Nice.
It's a French film, but they were playing Romeo in this club
worldwide.
Yeah,
let me find out.
And so all of a sudden they start kissing, and then like this guy obviously has interest in her, and you know, eventually it comes out. And all of a sudden now our protagonist is one that you have to see as a real human. She's not perfect. She's not, again, like this movie does not make it out to be anything. To me, it doesn't fantasize anything.
Nice.
That is something I really appreciate, because one thing, I don't know if it's a Hollywood thing or an American thing, but I feel our media is very, very fantasized and or fetishized, whatever you want to call it. And it's just, to me, it's a little overwhelming. It's a little too obvious that it's fake. So it's not real. I like the nitty gritty. Like, I like the real stuff. I like it when you can enjoy and you can see something that resonates with real life.
Nice. Speaking of real, do you know that Leah had to dye her hair every day to keep the continuity?
Wow.
Of the color?
That sucks.
Her hair must be
damaged.
It's gone. Like at that point.
Wow. Dedication.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate it for sure.
This film is based on a novel, actually, just like The Notebook. Based on the novel is of the same name. The author of this book is Jewel Moreau.
Nice.
And it's a graphic novel, as you can imagine. Not as much, in my opinion. I mean, not, from what I remember, this movie wasn't that graphic. I mean, it had, don't get me wrong, it had its, you know, hot moments,
but right,
it wasn't anything out of the ordinary, in my opinion. I don't know,
right,
maybe they definitely did a good, I will say, they definitely did a good job as accentuating the features of the female body. That they did a fantastic job. It's maybe a little more focused than what we're used to in this country, but again, nothing out of this world, in my opinion. Nothing that will make you think, oh, like that's too much, or you know what I'm saying.
Either way, it was prosthetics. They used prosthetics
a lot of it.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
In total, this film did win 39 awards and had 96 nominations. And this is awards going back to, like, you know, minor stuff and, you know, minor little festivals to main festivals in Europe, France. Just all around, this movie was highly, highly regarded. It did gross over 14 million euros with a production budget of 4 million. So maybe...
pretty good.
It's a decent number given that the production is 4, so marketing and all that bumps it up to, what would you say, 6?
Yeah.
Maybe 7?
Mm.
Even if it was double, even if it was 8, you're still making a nice profit. So right. I think they consider this movie not just a financial success, but a critical success as well. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 89%. It's a pretty high score.
IMDb gave it a 7.7.
7.7.
Film Purgatory score.
I give it an 8.5.
7.8. Fuck you.
Fair. It's not far off.
It's pretty good.
I would say the main drop-off... okay, well, this is where I get a little stuck. Because I'm having a hard time saying if its length hurts or helps.
Right.
I really don't know. I can't choose.
Right.
Because, it's 3 hours. That's not what most people are used to when it comes to romantic films.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? 3 hours is long, and to see this up and down, it stretches out your patience and your emotions for that long. It can be a little draining. Right. I don't know if I'm explaining it well, but it's like once you're done, you feel tired. Like, damn, I just witnessed a lifetime of sadness and happiness and excitement and tragedy, or, you know, all that up and down stuff because it's so long. But at the same time, maybe if the film was shorter, you don't get that, and maybe it's not as enjoyable.
I get you. It makes sense because, man, you kind of want to watch a movie to get entertained. And
yeah.
We do mention the when it comes to romance, you know, you try to enjoy it as well and not emotionally damage yourself. I don't know. It is what it is.
This is emotionally damaging. I would say Notebook is somewhere around there.
Right.
It definitely hits around that tier.
Mm. Solid films all around, guys. You can watch The Notebook on HBO Max. To the max. And blue is the warmest color. Google it. And Google the director.
You have to be in the mood not just for a romance, but for a strong, a heavy drama. Please keep that in mind, because this is, if you're going to expect The Notebook or The Time Traveler's Wife or Dear John, like, bro, do not watch this film.
Yeah.
I promise you, you will not like it. You will not finish it. It is considered romance, but, and you know what I'm talking about. A movie may be mystery. Not all mysteries are the same. Not all actions are the same. Not all romances are the same. And this is the perfect example of that, in my opinion.
Nice. Brian, do you see anything that you want to talk about?
I finished Fire Force.
Nice.
This anime I started a few months ago. I finally caught up. Done with season 2. If you're an anime fan, this is the show you need to watch. Volume very high. Get some LED lights if you can. It's very colorful, very loud. The sound effects are phenomenal. Animation is really high quality. The story is much deeper than I anticipated. A lot of depth in this story.
Nice. Where'd you see the Fire Force?
I saw it on Crunchyroll.
Nice.
I think that's where they have, like, the only place you can watch it.
Brian, next week.
Next week. Oh,
man.
Disaster Romance was worth it. Because next week is a special, special episode.
Viewer discretion advised. I cannot stress this enough.
Just skip next week's if you don't like the gross of the gross. If you don't like...
Yeah, this is... I don't even know how to describe this. Like,
it has its own genre.
Yeah.
This is, like, hyper... immersed real life deviant type movie. I don't know how to explain.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get there, but I know I'm not getting there.
This is the taboo of movies.
You know?
You're not supposed to talk about, let's even show these type of stuff, or some of the subjects shown in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Nymphomaniac.
Yeah.
Just the title itself should give you a good idea of the direction this episode is going to take. Viewer discretion's advised, please, because. We will be
spoiling.
Yeah.
Like if you really just want to hear an overall about the movie, go ahead and read about it.
Right.
Because we will be talking about all the details that you will not be getting in any summary or any trailer. Like, this movie is tough. It's 5 hours because it's two parts. So it's very long. You can watch it in the two parts, or you can sit through both parts all at once, which is what I did. I was a little obsessed at first when I saw this movie. It was very different. I love when something is different. It catches my attention. It hooked me for the entire ride. Very excited for next week's episode.
Me too. Nymphomania, guys. But that's going to do it. Really appreciate the support and all the feedback. If you liked today's episode or have ideas for future episodes, definitely get in contact with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Our username is FilmPurgatory or Film_Purgatory.
And please remember to turn on all notifications on your streaming services so you know as soon as we drop the latest episode.
Thanks, guys, and we'll see you
next week.